Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, one stop to make. Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague hanging out for the 7th annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. And I saw two billboards in L.A. go up this week. And, of course, the Clippers cannot say that they were responsible for them because that would be illegal. But free agency period is upon us starting this week. And I thought, you know what? Let's bring on friend of the show, Andrew Greif, who is now down in L.A. for the L.A. Times covering the Los Angeles Clippers. He's on Twitter at Andrew Greif. And he joins us now. Andrew, thanks for the time here in Portland, man. I'll just start here. I saw that press conference with Lawrence Frank the other night, and I'm sure you were there, at least saw the video. He seemed like one of those guys where he's going to be a little concerned if they can't get Kawhi to sign this summer. What do you think about that?
I think that, obviously, if they can't sign Kawhi, it's going to be a big blow because, you know, they prioritized him for probably the last year, ever since the trade from San Antonio. I mean, it's been something that this organization has really made kind of a keystone of their offseason plan. So if they don't sign him, obviously that is a big blow to their ambitions to be contenders really, really soon. You know, if they want to be long-term contenders, that's the whole goal behind Steve Ballmer and Lawrence Frank and the way they've reorganized the front office 2 years ago, since the last time they reorganized 2 years ago. But, you know, signing Kawhi means you're a contender right now. So that would be obviously a huge bummer for all the planning they've put into it. But I don't think that if they didn't sign him that it would lead them to have a knee-jerk reaction to try to sign somebody else. They're going to have a ton of cap space, but this is a really disciplined kind of management team. And so I think that if you don't see them sign Kawhi, if he goes back to Toronto or wherever he goes, if it's not L.A., you're not going to see the Clippers panic and throw a bunch of money at D'Angelo Russell or something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because that was my next question is oftentimes we see teams not know what to do when they have all that money. Portland's still paying for it, as a lot of other teams are from 2016. They had money to spend. They got tied up in bad contracts. And here we are a number of years later, and they still haven't gotten out of them. So your kind of intellect is saying that if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, you just kind of maybe wait it out, and if nobody else on the market comes, you just wait till next offseason? Like, where does the game plan go from there?
I think that they would try to sign some guys. I think that, you know, veteran guys who can play some defense and shoot some threes, I think that's probably a target. But I think that even if they go after those guys, the game plan is most likely short-term deals, maybe two-year deals. Maybe they pay a little bit more for premium for it. Because, you know, say the player X has a three-year offer somewhere else. Well, the Clippers might say, we'll give you two. We'll bump up the salary a little bit. I think you could see that being the next route they would take because, like you said, the summer of 2016 is really haunting a lot of teams when all that cap space came into play in the NBA. You mentioned it right there with the Blazers. I don't think that they want to be that team that in 3 or 4 years says, why are we paying all this money to this guy? You know, I think that's to me is why Al Horford doesn't make a lot of sense for the Clippers. Not that he is not a great player, but if the reported idea for him to get a four-year deal, maybe north of $100 million, if that's really true, I just don't know how that meshes with the Clippers who want to be, you know, financially flexible and nimble in the next couple of years.
Right. Andrew Greif is our guest, LA Times, covering the Clippers. The Clippers obviously in the pursuit of Kawhi Leonard to get him out of Toronto after winning a title. He is an unrestricted free agent. Billboards going up. Did we find out who put up the billboards? I know the Clippers obviously have to come out and say, look, we didn't do that. Do we know where that came from?
No one has messaged me saying I'm the responsible party. Right now I am on the billboard beat, but I don't know who did that. Probably just a fan. Who knows? But it definitely has caused a lot of stir down here. Kind of like, I forget when, maybe 2013 when Dwight Howard, someone put up, I think, Stay Dwight billboards. And so I've seen a lot of Lakers fans in my mentions saying, this time it wasn't us. So it's apparently it's a popular thing to do down here.
Well, and we just saw the impact that Kawhi Leonard could have on a team winning a title in Toronto, a good team, but a team that couldn't quite get over the hump in the Eastern Conference, wins them a championship. If you put Kawhi Leonard, let's say he ends up choosing L.A. and goes to the Clippers to play, granted there would probably be some other moves, but what does that immediately do to their roster in terms of contention in a Western Conference that right now looks to be wide open next year?
Well, it immediately makes them one of probably the top three favorites in the West. I think the Lakers are up there. Obviously, even though they don't have much of a team beyond LeBron and AD, that's still a really good twosome, clearly, as an understatement. So I think the Clippers would join the Lakers as probably two of the top favorites immediately, and that's before they would do anything else. And the Clippers, I think that the reason why they feel like they could be immediate contenders, I don't think it's wrong to laugh that off at all, because a lot of the pieces that made them an overachieving 8 seed last year, kind of that gritty team that a lot of teams didn't want to play, those guys are coming back. Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Landry Shamet, Danilo Gallinari potentially if he's not traded or moved. Those guys are a really nice kind of core. Those guys can win you a lot of games by themselves. And then you add Kawhi to that, and it's kind of like a ready-made group, because – the Clippers got a lot of playoff experience this year against, a healthy Golden State team. That's really valuable. So you pair that with an NBA Finals MVP, and you can kind of understand why the Clippers really want this to happen.
Yeah, Andrew Greif, LA Times, is our guest covering the Clippers here on the Daily Ticker. You know, that move to get Doc kind of out of the front office stuff and really just honing in on the coaching aspect, I mean, that paid such dividends for them. I thought this was his best. I know he's won a championship, and he had some good teams with CP and Blake. I thought this was his best coaching job easily of any year of his career. He did such an exceptional job with that roster and with those role guys to come together and even push the Warriors to 6 games in the first round. What went into that decision-making? How hard do you think that was for Doc to kind of give up and just say, okay, I'm just going to coach? And, man, the world of difference it seems to be making with how we view the Clippers versus them kind of being what they were for so long, a laughingstock in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. That was a really pivotal moment. Obviously, before I joined the beat by about a year, but you hear Doc talk about it this year, and it was completely what was necessary because right now he's free to be a coach. And a lot of people will tell you that he is one of the better coaches in the NBA. The way he relates to players, the way he can get guys to accept roles and communicates with them. Lou Williams said that he has been one of the favorite coaches ever played for that reason. He just kind of has a respect to the guys, and it's hard to do those two jobs at once. So even though in the moment, you clearly know Doc did not want to be demoted, he would say now that it was the best thing that could have happened to him. And what by installing Lawrence Frank as his successor, it's created this really unique partnership, because Lawrence is a former head coach with New Jersey Nets, Detroit Pistons. Doc has done the president role. They've both done each other's jobs, so they can both relate to each other. Doc knows what it's like to trade someone or go through free agency. Lawrence knows what it's like to put together a game plan. So I think there's a lot of mutual respect because both of the guys have been in their shoes before. And so you see a lot of those guys, I think, after every game, I probably see when Lawrence is there, I see him and Doc talking for 5-10 minutes, just going over what happened in the game. They can kind of speak a language that maybe a career executive can't with a head coach. So that's that is a really big selling point that a lot of the front office guys say is very unusual and in different places across the NBA.
No doubt about it. Get you out of here on this one, Andrew. What does your gut say? I know nobody has any read. I think Chris Haynes might be the closest one because he talked to Kawhi's uncle. But he's a tough guy to read. We know he has that house that he bought last year in the San Diego area. It's beautiful. We know, obviously, the LA Ties just won a title, though, in Toronto. What's your gut say right now? If you had to make a bet today, do you think he is a Clipper?
That point you made about no one not knowing anything, that's legitimate. Like, no one knows anything. I mean, you talk to people around the league, people do not know. I mean, Kawhi keeps an extremely tight circle, and beyond that group, no one knows right now. I think he might leave, because I think that the window, Toronto clearly has won, and you have to think, well, shoot, they could probably win again, or at least have a good shot at it. I wonder if that team, if he looks at it and says, even if he signs a 1+1 deal, I wonder if it might be getting a little too old. Has the window closed at all? You know, the East is probably going to be better than the West next year, at least top heavier. So I wonder if he wonders, you know, could I go into that ready-made Clippers group where there's comforts of home and there's a team ready to win right now? I wonder if he sees that as potentially the better chance to win. As odd as that sounds, considering the Raptors just lifted the title like 2 weeks ago, I kind of wonder if he thinks the East might be a little more rugged next year and maybe the Clippers can do it again.
Right. There we go. Great stuff. Great insight. Andrew Greif, LA Times. Find his work, obviously, at latimes.com and on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Andrew, thanks so much for the time, man. We always appreciate it. We can get you back on the station up here in little old Portland, Oregon. Stay in contact with us little folks, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you this summer, depending on what goes on.
I'm glad to be back on the airwaves in the Northwest. A little piece of me is back home right now, even if it's not really physically. So I appreciate that, fellas.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff. Andrew Greif, LA Times on the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.